case number 08-5060. Pauline Stonehill, co-executor and co-special administrator of the estate of Harry S. Stonehill, appellant, versus Internal Revenue Service. Mr. Hagestad for the appellant, Mr. Cohen for the appellee.
Good morning, Your Honors. My name is Robert Hagestad. I represent the appellant, Pauline Stonehill, who is the co-executor and co-special administrator of the estate of Harry S. Stonehill. I would like to request that the court reserve 3 minutes for rebuttal in this case. This case is a very unusual case. It began 10 years ago when Harry Stonehill filed an FOIA request on July 10th, 1998. The difference in the case then and now is that the IRS has asserted new exemptions, 1,000 new exemptions, in the FOIA litigation that could have been raised both in the administrative proceeding and as a practical matter in a related civil discovery proceeding in California. The same IRS official who reviewed the documents that were at issue in this case assisted the IRS in the administrative process, and those documents were reviewed over a course of 16 months. At the conclusion of that time, the same IRS official assisted the tax division in the civil discovery case in California, and approximately another year was spent reviewing the same documents to allow the government to prepare their Vaughan Index. In this proceeding, the same IRS official assisted the IRS in preparing its Vaughan Indexes, which took approximately another year. There has never been any excuse given by the IRS in this litigation as to why it never raised FOIA exemptions that were available to it in the civil discovery litigation. Those exemptions are not unique to FOIA, and the same legal issues that surround those exemptions could have been advanced in the district court. The IRS simply chose not to do that. Mrs. Stonehill has asked this court to apply the principles of Madoc versus United States, which requires the government to raise all of its exemptions at the same time in a district court proceeding or explain why they were not raised. Under Madoc, there are three possibilities as to why the IRS did not raise these exemptions earlier. The first possibility, of course, is that it represents a deliberate decision by the IRS to gain a tactical advantage. And, of course, that's prohibited by this court, and it's contrary to the purposes of the Freedom of Information Act, which is to ensure prompt, efficient, and broad disclosure.
What is the tactical advantage here that you see? Delay?
Yes, Your Honor. The IRS has argued that there has been no prejudice to Mrs. Stonehill given the delays because this proceeding has gone on since 1962. The delays to Mrs. Stonehill and to the court, the cost to the court, have been tremendous. By delaying production of IRS records, originally in 1998, the IRS disclosure officer said that after a thorough search of all IRS records at International, only 5 responsive documents could be located.
Well, the government argues here that extending MADAC isn't necessary because if
they don't raise these privileges earlier, with the exception of the statutory bars, they risk being ordered by the court to turn the documents over.
Well, that's true, Your Honor, but in this case, first of all, with respect to 6103, they've argued that that can always be raised later because you can't waive.
Go ahead, except for the statutory.
Yes. Now, in this case, they didn't really risk having to produce the documents because the district court ordered them to produce only those documents that were relevant, and the government decided that out of all of the documents that were withheld on attorney-client, attorney-work product privilege, only 11 documents out of 2,000 were relevant. So there was no great risk, absent further proceedings in the FYA, that the government would have to turn those documents over to Mrs. Stonehill. The delays resulting is that 3 years later, Mrs. Stonehill's counsel discovered that, in fact, there were responsive documents and they were located in the Associate Chief Counsel's office. After the IRS was presented with that information, they informed Mrs. Stonehill that, in fact, they had located 8 boxes of documents in the Chief Counsel's office. At that time, Mrs. Stonehill had already filed a Rule 60B motion alleging fraud on the court in the district court in California, and it had asked the district court if it would stay its decision pending review of the last 4 boxes of documents. The district court denied that request and issued a decision denying the Rule 60B motion. The 4 boxes of documents were produced during the next several months, and after the end of the first 8 boxes, the IRS then informed Mrs. Stonehill that they had discovered another 86 boxes of documents. This was in the course of the Court of Appeals proceeding. They produced the last box of documents at the very end of briefing in the Court of Appeals. Mrs. Stonehill filed a supplemental motion. Based on the new documents that had been discovered, which could not be considered by the Court of Appeals because they weren't part of the district court record, the Ninth Circuit determined that there was sufficient evidence, significant evidence, of possible fraud on the court, and that the district court, it recognized there were additional FYA requests pending, it remanded it back to the district court to assist Mrs. Stonehill in obtaining relevant documents.
I understand all that, but how does the MADAC rule help you as you want it extended if the government doesn't find boxes all at one time? I mean, they find some in 1 year, then another year they find some more, then a third year they find some more.
The MADAC rule helps because if the government can show this court that, you know, this was all inadvertent, they did the best they could, they attempted to comply with the FYI request, they searched their records, and, gee, they found additional documents. And throughout the course of the proceeding, in the administrative proceeding, which lasted for 2 or 3 years, they missed 1,000 exemptions. And in the course of the year that they reviewed the very same documents in the district court, they once again missed the 1,000 exemptions. And that this truly was a mistake. And that if, as a result of this mistake, the court were to decide that they had waived those privileges, sensitive national security information would be released or sensitive personal private information would be released, then under MADEC, the court can consider those arguments and allow additional proceedings to determine whether the exemptions that were not asserted in the first proceeding could be asserted in a second proceeding.
Well, is there any evidence in this record of bad faith by the government in not finding those boxes earlier?
Well, yes. In the record, the disclosure officer originally said, Mr. Flesher, that only 5 documents could be located. In this record, in my declaration, 3 years later, after Mrs. Stonehill had Mrs. Stonehill filed numerous FOI requests with the FBI, CIA, and the tax division, and litigated those FOI requests. After receiving documents in those proceedings that included vast correspondence involving the IRS, I went back to Mr. Flesher and I said, gee, this is an awful lot of IRS documents. Why weren't these produced? And Mr. Flesher said, those are all in the Associate Chief Counsel's office. That was 3 years after the FOI request was filed, and it was merely inadvertently that those documents were discovered. And if you look at how these documents have been released, it's absolutely clear that they have been released in such a fashion that the IRS has gained a great tactical advantage in the Rule 60B proceeding. They waited until after briefing in the Court of Appeals to release the very last box. They waited till right before the briefing was finished in the civil discovery proceeding to tell Mrs. Stonehill they had located 8 boxes. The Court of Appeals, Mrs. Stonehill has had to go through 2 essentially different Rule 60B proceedings, and the Court of Appeals decision was 6 years ago, and Mrs. Stonehill is still litigating the Rule 60B proceeding because of the manner in which these documents have been released. It's unfair. They have gained a great tactical advantage, and they have given absolutely no excuse to this court. They haven't said that there's extraordinary circumstances, that there's been a change in the factual context of the case or a change in the relevant law. They haven't even said to this court, gee, we made a big mistake here, and we're sorry. It shouldn't have happened, but you know, the IRS is a big organization. These are 96 boxes, or actually it was 94 as it was 92 as it turned out. 2 of the boxes were lost. They haven't done that. They have just said, you know, it's too bad this happened, and we should be allowed to use the same IRS disclosure officer in all 3 proceedings, and there has been no prejudice to Mrs. Stonehill, and that we could really do this in any event, even if waiver didn't apply.
All right, do you want to reserve the rest of your time?
Yes, I will. Right. Thank you. May I add one thing, Your Honor?
Sure.
Mrs. Stonehill originally, our briefs were probably a little unclear, had asked for a broad rule. Although a broad rule would obviously help future litigants, I think that under the very specific facts of this case, a very narrow decision from this court would be appropriate. We also, in our initial brief, we asked the court if there was a remand, to allow the district court to review the 6103 documents in camera. We did not ask the district court to do that below. We asked this court to do that because after documents were released following the district court's decision, we realized that a lot of the documents that had been withheld on relevance grounds were in fact extremely relevant to the issues in the Rule 60B case. With that said, the appropriate court to review those is the district court in California, and we have filed a motion with the district court asking them to review the 6103 documents in camera, and Mrs. Stonehill is no longer requesting that as part of her relief in this case.
Thank you. Mr. Cohen?
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court. I'm Jonathan Cohen. With me, my co-counsel is Bethany Hauser, who was also on the brief here. I was a little startled, as a matter of fact, just 30 seconds ago to hear Mr. Hegestad bring up the business about now further proceedings with regard to what I'll call the merits of the 6103 material. This has been something that I found troublesome because in the district court, the only issue before Judge Bates was waiver. and he made it very clear that none of the merits of any of the asserted exemptions were before the court. Now it sounds like what Mr. Hegestad is saying is, okay, 6103, 6105 can't be waived. That's clear. But we do want to have the opportunity to have those examined in camera by the trial court, but the court in California that's doing the 60B case. In any event, the important point here is the policy one of do you or do you not extend MADAC beyond the FOIA context?
Well, in the brief, you say that it's not necessary to do so.
That's correct.
Because of the incentives that the government has to raise all the privileges at the earliest possible date.
In the FOIA context, we have certainly under MADAC not only we have the obligation to raise them all, but in civil discovery, where relevance may result in the in a court ruling and may make the rest of these FOIA privileges irrelevant, then there is no incentive for the government to raise those. And as a practical matter, if you take the typical discussion.
Oh, I need to understand your argument, because you say in your brief the extension is not necessary
yet,
because the incentive is there to raise the privileges or take the risk that the documents will be ordered.
No, Your Honor, I'm sorry. Our brief takes that in civil discovery, as occurred.
I think we're talking across each other. I'm not disputing your point about in civil discovery there has to be need and relevance. In FOIA, it's a different ballgame.
Right.
But your point is we don't, in your brief, pages 30 to 31, you say that it's not necessary to extend this because the incentives are there. All right, so you wouldn't get page 32 that you had nothing to gain by delay here, that you will raise the necessary privileges so that you won't be ordered to turn over the documents. Now, as I understood it, when the Ninth Circuit sent the case back to the district court, it said to the district court, essentially help the plaintiff.
Help them out. Give them every opportunity.
And so then the district court on remand says, tell me all the objections you have to turning over these documents. And so you raise some under the statutes and under Exemption 3, what I'm calling Exemption 3 and 5. And a little
and
7,
and
7D. Yeah. And what I'm trying to understand here is from the plaintiff's point of view, the only way to handle this proceeding is because the government keeps discovering new boxes, is either to keep going back on the Rule 60B or keep filing new FOIA cases. And it just seems like such an inefficient way to proceed.
Well, given the fact that the case has been going on for, well, since 1962, there's certainly been a tremendous amount of material.
Well, there's no incentive for the government to find these boxes. That's what I'm trying to get at. All right, because even though FOIA talks about this prompt period, I mean, you can string this out until the plaintiff's died. So where is the incentive? And I think that's the argument being made, whether it's a valid argument or not, is that there needs to be some incentive here. So the government finds these documents and raises the objections early so we can proceed.
Well, that makes sense in the FOIA context. But when you talk about raise all of your FOIA-type privileges in discovery, when simple relevance may be enough to result in you can't get the documents. Here in discovery, let me go back a step, if I may.
Can I just be clear? Here, the administrative FOIA was stayed.
Yes. And the IRS said this is the subject of an ongoing a discovery proceeding. If you get these documents in discovery, that it would appear, moot your FOIA request. They didn't get the documents in discovery. They did get some documents in discovery in which governmental privileges, which were essentially Exemption 5 privileges, were raised and were rejected. And we lost on those in the 60B case, and we lost on them here before Judge Bates on collateral estoppel, because those privileges had been raised and had been litigated specific documents, and we lost.
So the argument here basically is that it's inefficient. It may give parties tactical advantages, but that's the scheme we have, and either Congress can change it, but there's nothing really the court can do about it.
Well, there's certainly nothing the court should do about it. You were on the panel in MADAC, and in the MADAC type of situation, you have different considerations where you're dealing with these statutory privileges, even though I recognize, of course, the Exemption 5 privileges. The statutory privileges are those that would be available to a party in civil discovery. But at this point, so far as these documents are concerned, deliberative process, which could have been raised, was not raised, and that's certainly the big thrust of the estate's argument is, you could have raised it, and now you've waived it. They agree you haven't waived the statutory ones. They say we've waived attorney work product because that was raised only with respect to some documents, but not as to many others. That's 681 documents. That deliberative process covers 172 documents. And now, heaven only knows what the fate is of the 157 documents that they say are covered with the 6103-6105 statutory privileges. That seems to be shifting ground all the time. But as a practical matter, we submit that there is no reason to extend MADAC, that it would indeed be bad policy to extend MADAC, and that this court should decline the invitation to do so.
What's the bad policy?
To extend it beyond the FOIA context to civil discovery. That would be a bad policy.
In this case?
Certainly in this case, but even, and certainly on a
I'm sorry,
I misspoke. It would be a bad policy as a broad policy. In terms of what Mr. Hegestad has said this morning, he would take a very narrow ruling from this court. In the interest of damage control, you say, well, all right, if I'm going to get MADAC extended, I'd like to have it extended only on the unique facts of a case named Stonehill and nowhere else. Sure. But as a practical matter, it shouldn't be extended here either.
Because the two schemes are totally separate.
Yes, they are. They are two different regimes. They have different considerations. For example, the most obvious one that seems to me to just crush the notion of extending MADAC is that in a FOIA case, when you win or when you lose, you can appeal. In a civil discovery ruling, except in the most extraordinary circumstances, when you lose in discovery and you have to cough the document up, you can't appeal. So the consideration of gaming the system.
That's why you don't find the boxes.
I just can't speak to that.
Well,
thank God. I don't work. I can't even begin to respond to that.
I understand.
Thank you very much.
All right. Does Mr. Hegestad have any time? All right.
Thank you, Your Honor. Under normal circumstances, there are two different schemes, but that is not relevant to the facts in this situation, and Judge in the district court recognized that. The district court in the California civil discovery proceeding didn't base his ruling that attorney-client work product and attorney
client privilege did not apply because there was a need for the documents or because of relevance. The court in California found that because of the Mrs. Stoniel's allegations of fraud, there was sufficient reason that those privileges would be vitiated. With respect to deliberative process, that is something. It is a traditional civil discovery a privilege claim. It could have been raised. And what has happened in this case is that if you look closely at what was done here, because the government claimed certain documents were exempt on attorney-client, some on attorney work product, some on both, the documents where both privileges had been asserted had to be turned over. In the civil or in the FY litigation, where only attorney-client was privilege was raised, they switched it in their Vaughan index to just attorney work product. In a lot of cases where both attorney-client and attorney work product were asserted, they added deliberative process. Other cases, they threw in 170 new claims of 6103, and we didn't appeal 6103. There's no way that we can determine whether that is a legitimate claim, and it automatically means that by making that assertion that the documents can't be released. The 6103 claims, the IRS spent 16 months in the administrative proceeding reviewing documents to determine those. Mr. Foltz helped the tax division assert 6103 claims, and then after several years, he shows up in the FYA litigation, and he discovers 163 new 6103 claims in cases where the documents would have had to have been released based on the district court's decision in California that attorney-client or attorney work product didn't apply. This case is a case where MADEC, the principles of MADEC, should be extended under the specific facts. The principle of waiver, there is not better facts that would support a decision that the government has waived all of the exemptions, the 1,000 new exemptions that it claimed for the first time after 8 years in the FYA litigation. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you.